Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, a World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Newsletter, broker here at Daniels Trading, which is a StoneX company. We work with farmers and producers. We work with end users and the commercials that buy the physical grain. We work with speculators and hedgers, broker-assisted online trading, swaps, OTC, managed programs, cash programs. If you have any questions about what we do here, or if you're a client and hear something on the podcast or what I'm talking about and either a part of or want to be a part of, you can give me a call. My local number is 312-706-7610. Email is cturner@danielstrading.com. If you have my cell phone, you can always text me too. So if you like the newsletter, or actually the podcast, if you like the podcast, please go to Apple on iTunes and give us a review. That's how people find us. You can also forward along to anyone you think you might like it. And as far as newsletter goes, if you want to check that out, you can go to turnerstake.com or just go get your phone out and text number 3377733777 with the message Turner, and you'll see the instructions on how to check out Turner's Take newsletter. So let's get into it. A lot going on. Busy week. I've been very busy lately. It's an interesting story. We're going to start on the stock market and the macro news at first, and then we're going to get into a little bit of energy, and we'll finish up with the grain markets. But you know, there's been a lot of news on the financial press, and even the clients that I talk to have been asking about what's going on in the stock market, especially with some individual stocks and hedge funds that are short things like GameStop and AMC and Nokia. And you know, it's creating a lot of headlines. I'm not a stockbroker. I am not. I'm Series 3 for commodities. I am not a Series 6 or Series 7 stock guy. So this is in by no way, shape, form any kind of individual stock advice. But it is a very interesting story, right? So you know what happened here is, if you look at something like GameStop, which was trading, I don't know, single digits, maybe in the teens, and now it's $300 because the hedge funds were so short. And I think either they were short or they were doing collars, like buying puts and selling calls. And apparently, you know, basically these message boards on the internet at Reddit saw the huge short interest and decided, you know, to buy it, and to buy it in mass quantities. And you have this army of retail traders just buying GameStop and really forcing the hedge funds to, one of them may have gone out of business, a big one, you know, on this. It's an incredible story. The documentary or movie that comes out of it's probably going to be fascinating. And, you know, you're seeing now other names where you have these message boards and trader groups online looking for hedge funds that have heavily shorted a market, and now they're going after them. It really is amazing how the tables have turned in that dynamic. And that's what's going on there. Hope you're not caught up in that, or I don't know why anyone would be, you know, shorting stocks going into bankruptcy. That's usually a pro's game. It's an arbitrage play, but and the risk on it is substantial. But you know, for one thing, I do want to just, why I bring that up is, you never know. Like, you never know what the black swan's going to be. You never know what the real volatility is going to be. And I don't care if it's the real estate market with your house, or you know, currencies, stocks, futures, commodities, you know, your grain if you're a farmer, or if you're a consumer and you got to buy, you know, this is an end product. So when we put out strategies, and especially when things start to get volatile, you know, I think what we've been doing for the past couple of months is a perfect example. You know, we had been long futures, whether it be bean oil, soybeans, corn. I've been saying for a while now, not really comfortable being long futures. I'm not even really comfortable being short the options. If I am, I'm doing it in spreads. And one of the reasons why is I always know where the risk lies. And So like these guys who were selling, let's say they were buying, let's say they were doing collars as a short play, buying puts and selling calls. Maybe they were buying a $5 put and selling a $10 call, and now GameStop is worth 300. I mean that's why some of these funds are going bankrupt. Like you can't survive. They can't survive that. So when you do sell options, commodities don't tend to go up and down like stocks like that. They seem, on a chart they are a little bit more. They're definitely a lot more range bound. I mean, soybeans isn't going to go to $200, but and corn's not going to $100. At least, not now. Maybe 100 years from now with inflation, who knows? But definitely not now. But you never know how far they can go, right? And so when I talk about buying call spreads and selling put spreads, it's the selling the put spreads that's the most important thing, where you're actually buying that lower end call. So if I, like in my newsletter, this is not a trade rec. This is a podcast or social media. Licensed brokers aren't supposed to put trade recs in social media, whether it be Twitter or podcasts or on TV or on the radio, that kind of stuff. But if, for example, hypothetical example, let's say you are long December corn 460, 520 call spread, and hypothetically you sell like the $4 put to finance it, it would make a lot of sense to buy a 360 put way down low just in case the market goes to hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, what could happen? Swine flu could come back through China and wipe up half the herd. We could have a new variant of COVID and we go in, that's deadlier and more contagious, and we shut down for 3 months. Are these things likely? Not really, but they can happen. And the whole thing is because they can happen and these are leveraged markets, that's why people say, you should have a stop or, I prefer to always have a put, even if you can do it short dated and put it way down. It could be way, way down out of the money. And if you're spending a couple of cents in the grain markets on it, like those 460 puts, which I want to say they were like 4 or 5 cents. It's just, and that gets us through December. It's just nice to have, especially when you're, whether it's soybean oil or whether it's soybeans, meal, wheat, corn, all the markets that I work, a lot of the markets that I work with, also in the feeders and the live cattle and the hogs, it's always important on that. So if you're reading this GameStop story and what's gone on in AMC and maybe even, and we'll see what happens to AMC and Nokia tomorrow and, that frenzy. One thing I just want you to take away from is if you ever do want to avoid ever being caught up in that situation, and it's more of a risk in individual stocks than anything else. When you do take a short position, it always makes sense to kind of have a call way up top just in case, right? And then in a leverage market like the futures market, it does make sense if you're going to sell puts to finance bullish positions to make it a put spread, especially probably this year and next year. I could have made the case a couple years ago when corn stocks were, 2.5 to 3 billion and we had 900 million ending stocks and soybeans, then, the volatility isn't going to be, won't be so bad. But in the grain markets now, because stocks are tight, the volatility can be something else. I'm going to get more into that with the price action that we've been seeing in corn and soybeans and why it is the way it is. It's normal for ending stocks to have that kind of volatility in what we've been seeing later. And I'm going to hold that for the end of the podcast. So that's just what I want to talk about with the stock market, and those individual stocks that, hedge funds think are going bankrupt and they've been shorting. And now it's blown up in their face. We'll see what happens because those things can come right back down. It doesn't mean like GameStop is the greatest company in the world anymore either. So, but let's move on. So, energy markets. One thing, and I think we haven't focused a ton on the energy markets over the past month or two because the grain markets have been the story. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably 80% of my business. So, and that's where 80% of my clients are doing. It's in grain and livestock. It's not in the energy markets, but energy markets are important, especially for the business and the farming and end user side of all this, right? And if you take a look at the policy direct, I don't want to get into politics here, but if you look at the policy direction of the new administration, compared to the old administration, there is a change, right? You know, and again, anyone who's been listening to this for years and read the newsletter, I really try to stay above the fray on this stuff and just try to state the facts here. So, you know, the Trump administration was all about drilling and fracking and getting that oil out and getting that gas out. They were just very pro on that, easing the regulations and trying to be as energy independent as possible. Keystone Pipeline, great example, right? New administration, new party, new philosophies on things that range from the environment and business and economics and whatever, and energy and whatever it may be. So now Keystone is, you know, getting axed, right? That's been, I think the permit for that has been declined or rescinded or whatever the technical term is. It's not happening. There is no more drilling on public lands. Looks like they want to get rid of fracking. And there's all these things going out, and whether, you know, it's by executive order. And what it's really, you know, number one, you really feel for the people who, it's disruptive, right? I mean, no one needs to be losing their job right now. So that always, you know, regardless of who's in power and what administration's doing what, you know, however that shuffles, that just stinks. And then, you know, the second thing here is, you know, this is going to hinder energy production. You know, even if the administration goes heavy into solar and wind and whatever it may be on the clean energy side of it, the numbers I'm looking at in some of the early analysis, it does not mean we're replacing it one for one here. So if that's the case, and we're going to have kind of a supply deficit, and what happens, you know, if everyone does get vaccinated for the most part in spring and summer enough to get to 60% in this country where herd mentality starts to take over, you already see, you know, Illinois, Chicago open for business. You know, just mayor came out the other day, we should have indoor dining again, really turned on a dime there. And you're seeing more of that. Energy could go up here, right? And whether it be crude oil, gasoline, and to some extent the heating oil and diesel market, because all, you know, in the energy, in those three, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, we could see a rally. Now, since the election, we have seen some of a rally. We've seen crude go from the high 40s to the low 50s. So, you know, there has been movement, and it's probably been bent on a lot of this. Hasn't gotten a lot of press. It's gotten some, but not a ton. But what happens if we get real economic growth this summer and the production is steady or lower, and the demand comes back? And if you're either a trader or if you're a businessman, you know, who uses energy, you know, whether you're a farmer, an end user of these commodity products, it could be significant. It could be a significant cost increase going forward. So I do like looking into buying call spreads and selling put spreads, as I've been saying in the newsletter and in the podcast for the grain markets. I do like that. I do think there is upside in the energy markets. As I've said many times in the past and even earlier on this podcast, I am a Series 3 licensed broker, and this is social media. So can't give you a specific rec, but I'm happy to talk to you about it. I'll try to put something on a newsletter, which has the proper disclosures and channels where I can talk about trades. So I'll do that in Turner's Take. But buying call spreads and selling put spreads going out into the summer and the end of this year could be very interesting, one for the spec side, or two for any business that has energy, you know, energy price exposure. It's just, you know, when you hamper supply and you've got to think demand's going to grow than where it is right now between the COVID restrictions coming up and it just getting nicer out. I mean, summer driving weather, right? And I know my family has been cooped up for a year. I mean, starting spring break, if we can get out, we are going out. I'd work on the road for a couple of months and have the kids stay online just to travel around the country at this point. But, I am itching to get out. But anyways, I just think that the energy prices here, I'm not really concerned. I mean, again, the reason why you buy the call spreads and you sell the put spreads is what happens if the new variation of COVID is more lethal and it spreads easier. What happens if, you know, again, swine flu takes out half? You never know what's going to happen. So, you know, and because of that, it's a limited risk strategy. I actually have no problem buying calls and financing them with the put spread. You can have the unlimited upside by just buying the call, right? You don't have to buy a call spread, but you buy the call and then you offset that part of that cost by selling the put spread. I actually kind of like that too, to give you limited upside. You'd probably pay more a little bit up front on the premium, but if depending on the trader or the consumer's needs, that's how I would look at that. Because when I work with commercial clients, whether they're buying corn or wheat, beans, meal, soybean oil, that's kind of how we tend to do it also. You buy the call and you sell the put spread. That way the producer knows what their risk is to the downside, but they can't control their costs. Like if crude oil goes to 70, they got to be able to, I don't think we're going to 70, but we could certainly go into the 60s, right? That's not a stretch if we get production coming down in crude and demand going up. I mean, $60, $40 to $60 crude sounds like a cor kind of a normal range in the energy markets, when the economy gets back to just like say average, right? And just from normal supply and demand. So that is definitely a possibility. So I do like that. I think that's the way to go. So that's my energy idea. I just wanted to brush up on that. I haven't touched on energy in a while, and for good reason though. I mean, the grain markets have been dominating. They're just dominating our time here. And moving on to that. So for the grain markets, I want to we had a huge sell-off. I've been saying for a while, you never know when you get that 3-day period and soybeans are down more than a buck, right? This is not the first time I've talked about it. I'm not doing it, I told you so. I'm just saying that is just the reality. I mean, I was in this business 2006 through 2008. This kind of price action happened. I was in the business 2011 through 2013. This kind of price action happened. We are now in another period here for the next year to probably 2 years of where we're going to have tight stocks and strong demand, and we're going to have this period of when soybeans are in 12 to 15 with possibility of going higher, where corn is above 4 and in the 5s with the possibility to go higher, with wheat in the 6 to 7 range with the possibility to go higher. You get air pockets because no one knows exactly where the market should be priced. When the prices get this high, there isn't a lot of depth in the market, right? There isn't a, when the mar when markets are range bound, there's a lot of trading going on. Like there's more certainty of where you think prices should be or how far it can go in terms of a standard deviation or a percentage of a standard, a fraction of a standard deviation. That's not the case when you get breakouts like this. You don't know how high it can go because, and this really is the thing, you don't know how hard up or how unhedged or unpriced the commercial side of the business is, right? In the biggest bull markets, it is always the commercials that are short bought that have to meet some kind of business deal to, and they're the ones that on the cash market or they're using the futures to hedge that to just to secure things. And whether it's the product they need to buy for production, they already have outstanding contracts. And when you look at the price of like cornflakes, right? I mean, cornflakes, I remember seeing a stat, this was a while ago, like cornflakes. And I know corn that we grow in this country isn't the same, that's for feed and there is sweet corn. But just as an example, cornflakes are $3 a box. Like the actual corn, the sweet corn, right? Not the feed corn, but the sweet corn, it makes up like 5 cents, right? Everything else is marketing and packaging and all that other stuff. Some things have much more commodity. Like, you look at the price of other products though, and they do have a higher cost in terms of the raw materials in them, especially those that don't have the huge marketing, budgets of some of these other places. But, at the end of the day, if you need to get X amount of product out to Walmart, and we're talking millions, of pounds and units of this stuff, if you've got to take a loss for a month on it, you will, because you're not going to upset the big business relationship that, that your company depends on because you just took a loss for the month. And that's why, the traders out there say, well, this is too high. Who's going to be buying, beans or oil or corn or wheat, whatever at these prices, meal, if they're short bought, they will. And And that's what happens. And it just, at the end, when you get these big blow-off tops, it's the commercials usually coming in low vol, it's low volume, but they need to buy, and it's squeezing out kind of the last remaining shorts who can't take the upside anymore. And while now that's the end game. In between, the market where, let's say, a couple of months ago, where it's highly liquid with a ton of volume at every single level on the ladder, every quarter cent in corn, right, or soybeans, there is a ton of volume and open interest, or bids and asks, I should say. As we go up higher, you start to see little air pockets, right, where you'll be trading at a range for a while, and then you'll come up real fast, and then you'll come down real fast in the next half hour. And if you look at the depth of market, it gets thin. That's the transition we're seeing. The example that I used, of the end of these bull markets that tend to happen in the summer, that's a ways off, and it's not like that now. But we did see that kind of price action in 12, 13 in the summer, right? Which is why I say these things. So I don't want to ramble on here, even though I already am. But what I would just say is, if you, it's hard to trade the futures. It's hard to have a stop. Just another reason that I'm just trying to convey is why I do think there's upside in the grain markets. I just like buying the call spreads and selling the put spreads. And when you take it sometime that looks you're looking at in the stock market today, or the grain markets of yesteryear, we've had these big bull markets, or even just what happened today in soybeans, being up so much, coming back down to the negative, and then closing above. This is just going to be more par for the course. So if you buying, and so if you're bullish and you're buying the call spreads, selling the put spreads, we always know what our risk is going to be. The margins are easier to handle. I like that strategy. I'm going to continue to do it, regardless if this is spec or if this is for farmers. In my opinion, if it's, I prefer this much more for spec. As far as the farmer goes, I mean, I like it too. The end user is a little bit different. I would probably just buy the call and sell the put spread, just like the energy example, because you never, I mean, the energy price is going higher. You don't want to cap that, right? If that's a real business cost. Same for, like, an end user who needs to buy these commodities for their business. And then if I were looking in 2022, and this is really for the commercial side of the business that listens to this podcast, the OTC swap market's probably better than the futures and options. And if you're, if you're not buying mass quantities of commodities for your business, then you can just forget what I just said there. But if you do, it's the OTC swap market really has a lot of advantages. It's not a big enough audience to go into that in detail on this. So if you do have questions about that, just give me a call and we'll go over it together. So anyways, that's where we are in the soybean market. I still think we're, I don't know, 12, 1250 on the low side to 15, 1550 on the high side. Not set in stone, but these are the ranges that you see when you have these kind of tight stocks. So we were down $1.40, $1.30 from peak to valley in the latest correction. That's 10% correction in soybeans. Guess what? You get 10% corrections in big bull markets. It's just the way it is. Nothing you can do about it. When that does happen, then we saw we tack on what soybeans got all the way what recovered 70% of that. Like bean oil's already up to where it was trading before the correction. I think it actually made new fresh highs today. I think that's a little more with canola in the global vegetable market too. Corn got up to almost 540 again before closing at 527. There's definitely some rumors going on in the cash market earlier this week that China was buying, and I think the market rallied. As they did that, they bought cargoes, and then we kind of had a little bit of a sell the rumor while buying the fact was going on after the big sell-off. But that's what's going to happen if the grain markets really sell off and these commodities are in need. You're going to see these commercials, or exporters in this case, who need to import the grain, come in and buy in a big way. And how much we have and what it ends up with the ending stocks end of the year, we just don't know. What we will see usually in these kind of situations is the markets do eventually climb higher steadily, not steadily, I mean kind of violently, in the their ups and downs. until demand shuts off, until there's no more importing. That's why when people say a bull market needs to be fed daily, what they really mean is people need reassurance that there's still export demand, that there's still feed demand, that there's still crush demand. And if you don't see it as the prices go higher, the market starts to think, have we hit the price rationing price? You know, where demand shuts off, because no one knows what that magic number is. You only know by, did we have sales today, right? Was there a cash sale? Was there an export sale in the system? All these things. So every day, if you see these sales going up, the market keeps on going higher. If you don't see the export sales come through, then the market sells off because there's concern, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the price where price rationing exists. And that's where that saying comes from. You know, bull market needs to be fed every day. So, we're still bullish on exports and demand here, but you know, you get a couple of days with no export sales. Soybeans could be down 50 cents. That's just the way it is. It's something we gotta get used to. If you have any questions about that, or you wanna, you know, trade corn, wheat, soybeans, soy meal, soybean oil, I'm happy to go over it. Soybean oil has been a very interesting story here. You know, palm oil took a big break. It's kind of seasonal and has rebounded. Canola, I think, hit all-time highs. It was over 700 a metric ton. Soybean oil is trying to break through its high here. Rapeseed, which is canola. It's what's the oh sunflower. Sunflower oil. That is still very high price in Russia and Ukraine. And those are the four. It's the canola, the soybean oil, the palm oil, and the sunflower oil are really, they're the major vegetable oils, palm being the biggest one, and the other three kind of being more of a minor oil. And they're all strong. They are all strong, and I would think they'd probably, which is different. You know, what's different this time around, and I think I may have said this on the podcast before, is when we've had these big bull markets, it's usually the bean oil that really lags behind because you need the meal. The meal is what's in demand. You keep on crushing it to get the meal, and it would add to the soybean oil and the world vegetable oil stocks, which weren't as tight. And then all you're doing is you didn't have the demand for it, and you just keep on adding to the supply in the oil side while you're trying to, you know, while you're crushing for meal because that's where the money is. And eventually the crush margins go negative, and that's when exporters and the crushers and the processors stop buying. That may happen later in the game this time, because there is a demand for soybean oil, clearly, and that if you look at the prices and where we are. So that's an interesting concept. That is different. I think that's different than 2006, 2008, and then in 11 and 13. I mean, eventually we had tight stocks in soybean oil and much higher prices than soybean oil, but it wasn't because of the demand. It was really because of the supply of the beans just weren't there. This is different this year. What I find interesting about bean oil is that we are coming in when all this started with vegetable oil already being tight. So we'll see how far that can go. So that's the podcast for today. If you have any questions about what we've been doing or talking about, please let me know. Love to talk to you. And for everyone else, if you're a client here and you like what you heard, or you have a position you want to adjust it or do something, great. If you've been talking to us and thinking about opening an account, you know, again, you can always shoot me a, give me a text or give me a call. I hope everyone has a great week. If you need some help with your trading or marketing, we're always here, and thanks for listening.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read include the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.